Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So yesterday, Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said that the administration has no plans to delay the November election. You think, especially after the major blowback and a call for his impeachment, do you think he was going to double down on saying maybe we want to delay it? Instead, what he's doing is he's going to sue everybody for having mail-in ballots. That we know is coming. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, I guess Election Day is going to be when it's supposed to be, and all the other news we can get to. I've asked your good friend, former congressman and political analyst, Bob Ney, to come talk with us. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So shocking! Election Day is going to be when it's supposed to be.
I had a conversation today with a former big-time pro-Trump, now anti-Trump person, with caveats, depending on what Joe Biden does. But anyway, we had this exact conversation. He said, is the election going to be stalled? I said, there could be fire raining down. We will have the election on Election Day. It can't be stopped. Yep. It will happen. So, you know, so that idea, this person I talked to is a regular common, Joe and Susie Sixpack, as I call, just a regular person. And but he was worried. And I said, no, it is not going to be stalled. And due to what he heard is one of the reasons he's turned now.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many of these things that, I have people who tell me I'm conservative and I'm conservative ideology and all this. And you go, but this guy stands for everything against the whole thing that you claim to be for, obviously institution being part of it, and elections being part of institution, but also this idea that, I don't know if you saw this story today, but Trump is anti TikTok, and I'll be honest, I am too.
Right.
Talking about banning TikTok, but he's given Microsoft the blessing to buy it, and then went on to say that because he gave them the blessing, we should get a portion of whatever the sale price is. It's kind of like a commission. And it's one of these things where you go, it's kind of mind-blowing that that would even be banging between his ears.
Well, I actually kind of understand this one, because when I first heard this, and I happened to be with my daughter, and she has a teenage daughter, right?
Right.
So I first heard this. Well, we've had the TikTok discussions. I'm not a TikTok fan. My daughter's not a TikTok fan, right? But then politically, I started to think, wow, for the good of the country and the fact I hate TikTok.
No. Look, I know where you're going, and I'm with you.
Right.
TikTok, the Chinese government shouldn't have access to our kids. I get that. My problem is he's now saying, okay, we're going to ban it, and if you buy it, we want profit from it because we made it possible by banning it. I don't even know where to go with that. Look, you got to stop the Chinese. You and I are on the same page.
Right, right.
But it's that next part that has me going, explain that to me.
He's always done this. He throws conflict of interest out on the sidewalk. He doesn't get rid of it. He throws it out there for you to see it. But there's a blazing conflict of interest. But at first, when he was banning the TikTok, my mind went instantly, despite the fact I would love for the Chinese to be banned from everything here, Chinese government. But my mind instantly went to the politics of it, of he's going to anger so many people by banning TikTok. They don't care whether it's Chinese or whatever. And so then I kind of thought, his escape valve, when maybe his staff said, you better be careful, yeah, TikTok's bad, but people like it, and it's popular, so then he can say, oh, well, Bill Gates buys it, cool, he's American. That's where I think he went with that, to cover his self, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think.
No, I'm right there with you. But with you on the banning TikTok and everything China at this point.
Right.
But here's the weird thing, and we're in this weird kind of moment in our country's history, because you and I agree that China is a problem. Did you see the Washington Post op-ed by Dan Coats, the former senator from Indiana, who saying, well, we can't have a cold war with China because we can't win. It's this kind of already defeatist mentality. Well, it's already too late. All we got to do is be nice and try and figure out how to do some other things.
Well, it's the same thing I would hear. I remember clearly David Dreyer was a congressman from California. and he would come to me, as others would, and, you know, we need your vote on the most favored nation status for China. We need your vote on permanent, we need your vote on these trade bills. And then, of course, I wouldn't do it, but every time that they would come to me, they would say, we've lost jobs, we need a new trade bill. And I said, well, the last two times you came to me, it was because we lost jobs, you passed trade bills, and we lost jobs. This is like a constant catch-22. And it's like, you know, and but they say you have to do it. It's like former Senator Coates, you know, well, you know, we can't beat them, so we're just going to have to, you know, lay down and let them walk on us. This mentality has been out there for 25 or 30 years. Mentality amongst the leaders, not the working people. Working people were willing to do things. And, Rick, this is going to hit a nerve on you because, you know, you're a working-class guy and you know all the working-class people. How many times have you heard we've got to be more productive? We competed against slave labor.
Yep.
15 cents an hour the Chinese were paid. They wore women out after a certain, by the age of 28, they worked them 28 days a month. But how many times did you hear that? Well, we can't be as productive as the Chinese. I bet we can't. They're 15 cents an hour.
No, there's no way you can compete with that. In fact, I just had one of these weird little moments today where I tweeted out a Nike ad. I thought the ad that they did was really a very creative ad. It was really good editing.
I saw it.
And I said, look, I don't like Nike. I've never bought a Nike product, and I never will. But I think this ad is really good. Their PR people are top of the game. And immediately people, well, why don't you like Nike? Nike supports Colin Kaepernick, so I support Nike. I'm going, yeah, but they use slave labor, and they don't make shoes in the U.S. What good are they to me?
Right, exactly. And that's how I think a lot of people in this country feel, but the powers to be felt like Senator Coates did and David Dreyer of California, et cetera, et cetera. That's how they felt.
Yeah. Now, he did say in his piece that, you know, in order for us to deal with China, and he says, look, we have to, but, you know, a Cold War is not the way to go. He said we need to have, you know, patience, conviction, and broad political support. He goes on to we need a comprehensive plan and coherence. He uses the word coherent numerous times. And to me, that's a shot at the Trump administration, even though he was the director of national intelligence for Trump, because we haven't had a cohesive plan. We haven't had any real plan.
Right. Well, on anything.
Yeah.
It's hit or miss. Who touched you last in the White House? Who got to you last in the White House? And frankly, a ton of impromptu, which there's nobody that will take blame because nobody had anything to do with things like let's stall the election that came out of the president's mouth. A lot of impromptu in the White House.
It's crazy. We're just in this weird moment. And, you know,
strange.
The thing is, that, you know, you wake up today after, you know, I don't know if you saw Dr. Brix's comments over the weekend.
Yes.
Of, you know, we're entering the next stage, a new phase, that the spread is, you know, everywhere. Only to have Trump attack her as pathetic and, you know, go down the list for actually just saying the truth.
Right. Right. And she talked about rural America now, how it's, you know, people are coming from urban centers into rural. A lot of big cities have missed things. We had 11 deaths in smaller town I live in 1 month. So, you know, it is not just a big city problem anymore. It is in the rural areas.
And it's only going to get worse. And Fauci said the same thing. Look, if we don't reduce the number of daily cases by 10,000 a day by September, it's going to be really, really bad come November.
Right. Hopefully they'll have the vaccine, I hope. So.
Let's hope. But I know reports Russia's going to roll out their vaccine soon. I guess they're going to start doing it, what, next month?
Oh, right.
So we'll see.
I wonder whose vaccine's different.
Yeah.
This is what makes me skeptical.
Yeah.
You know, why isn't theirs good for us?
Again, it is what it is. I want to ask you about the post office. Evidently, we're now fighting over the post office. The administration has agreed to $10 billion loan?
Right.
And while trying to sue to make sure that we don't mail anything through the post office.
Right. But they are off of the cut the post office kick. I don't know if it's because he now wants more mail ballots to go. I don't know.
So if he wants more mail ballots to go, is this a setting up a lawsuit thing? Because he's already suing here in Pennsylvania over the mail drop box places. There's a threat that he's going to sue. I think in Nevada he's threatening to sue over the mail-in ballots. It seems like kind of incoherent, to kind of use the Coates frame.
Right. And they do. They have the suits, and on one side, of course, is President Trump and the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, and they're looking here's what they're saying, that the post office's problems are of their own making, all right? Well, let's assume it is of their own making, although I'm a little mixed on that, right? So because of that, the White House intervened, and then they nixed the bipartisan $13 billion plan for the Postal Service to do something. And then, of course, they complained about the Postal Service, and now, of course, they're willing to do something about helping with the Postal Service. There's still going to be lawsuits, though. But I was telling some people today, I really hope that this is not an Al Gore situation. Can you imagine that with Gore versus Bush?
Yeah. Yeah, I can actually.
And it'll come down again to Florida and 500 votes. Think about that.
Yeah. Well, if they keep killing people off, maybe we won't have to worry about those 500 votes.
True.
I mean, that's the scary part in this. But here's the thing, and this is where, I'm looking at the Supreme Court a little differently, because it's appearing that, John Roberts isn't a Trump fan.
Yeah, true.
Obviously John Roberts is the most powerful person in the country because he's the swing vote between the ideologues.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, maybe.
And he's proved it.
Yeah, maybe I'm not against it going to the Supreme Court. But ultimately, right. I want the ballots to count. I want every person to vote and every vote to count. Obviously, that being the reality. I did want to ask you about this renomination vote. They're holding the vote in private.
You mean for Trump?
Yeah. Am I getting this right? There's going to be no media allowed in this convention area?
Right. This is the weirdest thing, and I actually called a couple of people I know that are involved with the Trump campaign, and their answer back to me is, we don't understand it. That's their answer back to me. I'm not talking about campaign manager, but people that are involved in it, right? So the vote on renominating him is going to be held in private with no media present, and they're saying because of the coronavirus restrictions and limitations in North Carolina. Now, this is what a Republican National Convention spokesperson told the media today. So it's going to be at the convention in Charlotte, because we know what's going on with Jacksonville,
right.
On August 24th. Then, of course, Trump announced on the 23rd he had canceled plans to hold the convention in Jacksonville, Florida, over the COVID-19, and that at that time he did say he would accept the speech in a, quote, different form. So they moved, the National Committee initially moved Trump's acceptance speech from North Carolina after Governor Cooper said he'd require the convention to be downsized, and they think 336 delegates will attend. Then they throw this snap at the end, nobody is invited from the media. Well, I'm assuming they're going to record it, and I'm assuming it will be fed out.
Okay,
so why would you not have the media actually present?
Or a live feed, if anything. I mean, will it be a live feed?
Sure.
Will it be recorded?
Sure.
This is a weird kind of, when I read this story, I was like, this is what you see happening, in tin pot dictators. It just seemed weird to me.
This is a weird story. I think it's an evolving story because eventually the campaign has to say to itself, why would we do this? What does it look like? Why would we want to hold this in secret? We want, this to be out there. If you remember, John Kasich was doing sort of the same thing of not allowing the media to the swearing in at first or something of that nature, and then I think he relented on that. It was just an anti-media thing, and now this is a presidential nomination. Why would you not want the coverage?
Yeah.
I think the campaign at some point in time, they'll find another, well, we're doing it in private, but we're going to do a live feed. We don't want people all in the room being, infected, but we're going to do a live feed. Because right now they don't have a live feed planned.
Right. You know, that's what I was thinking. I'm going, well, okay, just have a live feed and let us all come to the convention.
Right.
Isn't that what we started C-SPAN for?
Right. So I think something will happen. I mean, look, this is the weirdest, as we know, these are the weirdest conventions we've seen ever in our lifetime because of the virus, and they're going to be different. I don't know what the Democratic side's planning, but in one hand, although I will say this, for the candidates, this will keep dissenters down. You know, I was at the Democrat National Convention, you know, you were at the conventions, and I was at the Republican National Convention, and any dissenters were running around the hall looking for microphones to talk into. So in one way, you're not going to have it this year, which is kind of fun. You know, you get the people that like to make a comment on anything, but it's not going to be that way this year. So you would think they would try to capitalize on the best, you know, media feeds they could get.
Yeah.
At least I would assume the Democrats are going to do it differently.
I had really looked forward to going to these conventions because I had a ball in Cleveland and in Philadelphia last time around, especially in Cleveland for the Republican convention. That was a blast.
Mm-hmm. It was a great time.
There was just, you know, there was never a loss of crazy there at that convention.
Right.
And finally, you know, Biden's still doing the VP thing. That's coming up this week, right? We're going to make a pick this week. Is that the word?
Has to. You string this on too long, you're in trouble, but yet they've got a vet. And what they said is that it's boiled down to three things. Can she do the job? Number one, because we know it's going to be female. Two, can Biden work with her? Number two. Three, will she be a liability or an asset under the glare of the campaign? Well, actually, when I read this, this would apply to anybody, male or female. You know, these are three kind of really, the campaign put this out today, three really, really basic points that are, you know, standard things. We all know, however, they're going through of, you know, they may say those three things, but you and I know what they're going through in their mind is, you know, who gets attacked the least by Trump, you know, that we pick as a candidate, and who brings in the most appeal as a candidate. I mean, I think it's going to be an African-American female. I really do. But in the vetting process, they're saying those three things. And, of course, the reason it shouldn't go on any longer than it needs to, look, right now you know what's going on, too. Big donors, activists, the caucuses of the House and the Senate are all pushing Biden. We want our person. We want this person. The longer that goes on, it's not healthy.
Nope.
So I think he's going to make a decision soon.
Yeah, I'm with you. But, you know, you said, you know, the three things that they were looking at is, can she do the job? Can Biden work with her? And, you know, will she be a liability or asset? As where, you know, what to me that means is, will she outshine him and make him look inept, i.e. John Edwards, John Kerry?
Right.
Can he stand to be around her? Because you don't want to have two people who don't like each other. And three, will she Sarah Palin his campaign?
Right. Because, you know, they picked Sarah Palin, then it went wahoo after that. I mean, people were just like, wow.
Yep.
You know, because nobody knew her, and then all of a sudden they found out, you know, about her. But I think on this one, he's got to do this, and he's just got to get it done and go with it. The Trump campaign is going to look at this, you know, fast and furious as they can because, you know, they want an issue. Because this, and I was telling a Trump person today, you know, and they agreed with me. I said, this is Biden's to lose.
Yep.
This is Biden's to lose.
And for me, this VP pick is that first official decision. I knew Gore was in trouble the second he chose Trader Joe Lieberman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, bad choice, first horrible decision, bad. You deserve to lose for that.
It was, and this one is the most critical VP decision probably, honestly, in the last 40 or 50 years. This is a big one.
No,
this really is.
You're absolutely right. So who are you thinking? I'm kind of leaning towards Susan Rice, although I know the right wing is just all in a, you know, they can't wait to tear into her. You have a thought? Bass, maybe?
My personal pick would be Congresswoman Val Demings. I'm really, really high on Val Demings. My second pick would be Susan Rice. I think it's going to be Rice.
Who did I say?
Rice.
Oh, I did. That's what I thought I said. I go, Susan Rice, yeah.
Personal pick would be Val Demings.
Okay.
My personal pick.
Because she does bring a lot to the campaign. I mean, she brings that law and order thing.
Right.
You know,
but yet she's not overdone on it, all right? And she presents herself well. I'm just pretty high on Val Demings. I've seen some of her communications and speeches, and, you know, I just think she's very just common sense. But I must say, Rice has the background over her. And Rice has worked with Biden as she worked with President Obama, and she's got a great resume. So my choice would be, if I'm running a campaign, I would say Congresswoman Demings, but I think it's going to be Susan Rice.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Now that I've said it twice.
Right.
It's been a long day. Bob, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Bob. Now, you ever had that? You said, I know I said so, because she's the one I've been choosing for all along. She's obviously, for me, the obvious choice because of their relationship and the long term that they've had. Wow. Let's take a quick break to wrap things up. Stick around.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.